Amen. Indeed, I'm learning that when you understand what's in your veins, it's not difficult to praise His holy and divine name. Once again, God has blessed us to be back at this place. Want to just commemorate and thank each and every one for just taking the time out of your schedule to be here. You know, I'm learning that if we're ever going to make the difference in the lives of those around us, the Word of God has to first and foremost make the difference in our lives. And when it makes a difference in our lives, it's not difficult to help someone else see Jesus Christ. We're dealing with this text in James chapter 1. James here writes these words to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. And he writes at the beginning of this text some interesting stuff. Last night, Brother Henry did an excellent job on talking about suffering and how when you understand what suffering is, it's not difficult to be happy.
That's right.
And I left last night with a couple of things. Suffering keeps me in my place. Amen.
Amen.
You can't do it. Amen. It's the suffering that I go through, and I'm learning suffer for the right reason.
That's right.
Peter said, all that desire to live godly in this present world will suffer persecution. So to suffer for the wrong reasons, well, you got to get beyond that. But I learned that if I learn to suffer for the cause of Christ, it'll keep me in my place. Also, if I suffer, it'll bring me to a better understanding and make me a better person to help you.
Amen.
Yeah. I took some notes. My wife asked me, were you listening to him last night or were you writing your lesson? I said, no, I was listening. I had all ears attentive because you set the groundwork for where I want to go tonight. Because in understanding what suffering is all about, the child of God has to understand that it's in the midst of this suffering that God works His magic,
amen,
works His power, wrong word, works His power in our everyday life. And then this evening, as we look at this text, I want us to understand that we must embrace our trials and tribulations, and the only way you brace your trials and tribulations, you gotta ask yourself a question, who's in control of me? As you notice, this text is up here. I got something highlighted. James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Another translation says, when you fall into various temptations. Anybody have problem after problem?
Yeah.
You ever solve one problem and another one pop up, and you think you got that one, then another one pop up, and when you look up, you got four or five problems, and how am I going to deal with them? How do you be happy in the midst of that? And I'm going to show you this evening, the only way you're going to be happy in the midst of everything that goes on, you got to embrace what God has given each and every one of us that have obeyed from the heart the gospel. He has given us His Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That Spirit is designed, coupled with the Word, to help us through anything we face. What's the problem? We haven't really embraced the Spirit. Because I'm learning when you brace the Spirit of God, you look forward to trials and tribulations. Oh, somebody say amen. See, when you really embrace the Spirit that God gives us when we go in that watery grave, you look forward to the trials and tribulations. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. You don't go out and make them, but you already know they're coming your way. 1 Peter chapter 5, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary. Now, if you're not struggling, who's on your side? Are you working with the adversary, or you're working with God? Because see, when you understand the Spirit that He's given us, the Spirit looks forward to trials and tribulations. He said an excellent job last night. Because what it does, it pushes us to a higher plateau to help us to know that in this world, you're going to have some problems. Isn't that what Jesus said? John chapter 16 and round about verse number 32. He says, in this world, you're going to have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. How can you be happy? Because Jesus is always with us. And I'm going to show you this evening that in the midst of everything you go through, you ought to know something. That's the title of the lesson. what do you know? And I'm going to show you from the Word of God that the believer ought to know where he or she is at 24/7. Amen. That's right. If you don't make heaven your home, guess whose fault it's going to be? Yours. It ain't going to be nobody else. You can blame me or somebody else, but the bottom line is, it's going to depend on you. He says, knowing this, that the trying of our faith worketh patience, but let patience have it. Oh yeah, I want to play on some words here because it's important. Let patience have her perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In these passages of scripture here, James tells the believer and shows the believer that in the midst of your trials and tribulation, there is something you ought to know regardless of what goes on in your life. What you ought to know is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died that you might live. That ought to raise us to a higher plateau, just that alone. But I want to show you that when you know something, you act like you know something. You ever know somebody that knows something?
Yeah.
See, my daughter knows English. I don't try to compete because she knows English. When you know your Bible, what thus saith the Lord, guess what? It'll raise you to a higher plateau in your Christian walk, but it will not raise you unless you know the Word of God through the Spirit of God. And I want to show you that there are some things we ought to know as children of God. See, we must know and understand that God wants us to know and be confident in our Christian walk. So in the midst of our trials and tribulations, nothing or no one could move us from that steadfastness because we know who we serve. I don't know about you. I know who Jesus is. I know who's the author and finisher of my life. And so therefore, I have confidence. I have boldness when it comes to doing the will of the Father because I know who He is. In Romans chapter 8, I want to show you something. See, when you understand who's in control of your life, there's some confidence that you have in the midst of your trials and your tribulations. No matter what comes your way, you remain steadfast, you remain unmovable. Why? Because God gives you His Spirit with His Word to raise you to a higher plateau. That's why you ought to be the most happiest people on the face of the earth.
Amen.
You ought to know something. What should you know? If this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, where are you going to spend eternity? I don't know about you. I know where I'm going to spend it. Why? What gives me such confidence, such reassurance? Because He said, if I walk in the light as He is in the light, I have fellowship with Him. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses me from all of my sin. So I ought to know something, shouldn't I? Shouldn't you ought to know?
Amen.
How many of y'all know you're going to heaven? I'm not sure, but somewhere down the line, this text here is telling us that in the midst of everything that goes on, the believer ought to know where he or she stands. That's why when the day of judgment come, you ought to have confidence. You ought to have boldness to stand before the judgment seat. Why? Because you've done what God says. In this text here, James brings out some stuff, and I just want to try to take us to a higher plateau in our Christian walk. Romans chapter 8, look at round about verse number 28. Paul says, and we, what?
No.
We know. What do you know? I know something. I don't know if you know it, but I know that everything that happens to me happens for Stan's benefit.
Yeah.
It may not be good for me, but you know what? It happens for my benefit. Paul here, as he writes to the church at Rome, he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. It didn't mean everything gonna be good, but guess what? It'll turn out good for you. And see, and that's the whole key. We want peaches and cream all the time, don't we?
Yeah.
I mean, y'all want a hard time. Oh, no. But see, the true believer understands that in the midst of trials and tribulation, God is always there for me. You go through it alone because you choose to. That's why He give us a body. And didn't He say in this body, all the members have the same care for one another? So if I go through trials and tribulations by myself, whose fault is it? Yours. When I got all of these folks that I can lay my problems on.
Right.
Y'all looking at me funny? Because what that does, it helps us to be stronger as members of the body of Christ. And he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did know, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn of men among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, what can stop us? Who can hinder us? What makes us upset? Only our own selfish mindset. Because he gives us a spirit that elevates us above the physical man. I don't know, I was listening to you last night, brother, and you know, when you get wrapped up in the physical man is the one that really hinders our spiritual man. Romans chapter 8, the one you feed is the one that really leads. If you sow to the flesh of the flesh, Paul says, you reap corruption. If you sow to the spirit of the spirit, you shall reap everlasting life. So in the midst of my trials and tribulations, guess what? I have something the world can have, but may not have. See, when I get in trouble, I don't have to call you. I can say, Abba, Father. And because my spirit bears witness with his spirit, guess what? He hears us. So what do I know? I know that in the midst of everything goes on, it don't happen unless my Father let it happen. Amen. And in the process of it happening, guess what? He builds me up. He strengthens me. And the only way he's going to do that is with the Holy Spirit I have in me. Amen. And the Word of God. Amen. See, it teaches me how to control my tongue. Amen. Amen. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. It teaches me that when the world down here gets too much for me, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. Let him dwell in you. And when he dwells in us, guess what? There's not a problem in the world that we cannot handle. Church, I'm learning that there are some things we ought to know. We ought to have so much confidence about who we are. And Henry said it last night, that in the midst of our suffering, when we're steadfast and we're unmovable, Satan is having a fit. Amen. And you know why he's having a fit? Because you remaining steadfast in your Christian walk. But see, you can't do that by yourself. Amen. The only way you're going to be able to do that is the Spirit of God has to be in you, and it has to be active in you. A couple quick points. The message is yours. In this text, he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this. What should we know? Church, I don't know about you. I know I got the forgiveness of my sins. I don't care how much anybody dig. I don't care what you say. I have the forgiveness of sin. So if I got the forgiveness of sin, shouldn't that make me do something a little different than what I normally do? Shouldn't that make me more energized, more motivated in doing the will of the Father? Colossians chapter 1, round about verse number 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. God took me out of the cesspools of immorality, put me in that watery grave, wiped me clean, and now he says, you belong to me. Church, if that don't motivate you, I can't help you. See, but that's what the Spirit does. James says, you ought to know this. And when you know this, it's not hard to be happy when you're going through a whole lot of trials and tribulations. See, the world can't understand what I'm talking about. You know why? Because you got to have a relationship. And I'm learning the more you have a relationship with God, the more you understand that if I'm going to live for you, Lord, I'm going to suffer persecution. And in the process of suffering that persecution, what do you want me to do? Be steadfast. Be unmovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You think I do this because I don't know nothing? No, I do this because I know one day he's going to close my eyes. I already know that. One day he's going to close my eyes. And when he closed my eyes, I don't want to sit here, depart. I want to hear, well done. Like I like my steaks.
Amen.
Amen. And that's how I want to appear before his judgment seat. I want to be able to have the confidence and the reassurance that on this time side of life, I've done what you said to do, Lord, but I fall short. I fail from time to time, but I learn how to repent, get back on the right track. See, that's why I like the Lord, because in the midst of everything that goes on, when I mess up and fess up, he restores me right back to where I came from. See, their joy, the reason we can count it all joy as church, we got to understand we got the forgiveness of sin. And in the process of having the forgiveness of sin, let me show you what Paul said that you and I ought to be. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 and round about verse number 1. Let me show you something here. Boy, when I got to doing this, I was shouting. Because when you stop and think about where you came from. How many of y'all know where you came from? And I'm not talking about from Texas or Oklahoma or somewhere. No. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how many of us realize that we came out of the cesspools of this world. Amen. And see, and when you realize that and you recognize that, you're something brand new in the sight of God. Look at what he says. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, and you have he quickened. One translation said, he's made you alive. When you were dead in your trespasses and sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You understand what Paul is saying here? Once upon a time, we were lost.
Amen.
But now, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we no longer have to be lost. I should know that. That ought to raise me to a higher plateau. That means that I live my life for Christ. Why? Because I know where I came from. But he didn't stop there. In verse number 3, he says, among whom also you had your conversation in time past in the lust of your flesh, fulfilling the desires of your flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as of. Boy, this is some powerful stuff here. But see, I know that that's how I used to be. And that's what motivates me to do the best I can do now. But he didn't stop there. Verse 4 says, but God. That's a message within itself. That's a message within itself. But God. And but God is all by himself. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy, wherein for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, has quickened, has made us alive together in Christ. By grace ye are saved, and have raised us up together, and have made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ, that in the age to come he might show the exceedingly great of the riches of his grace in him toward in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved, let me try this again. For by grace ye are saved through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift. It is the gift. And I think sometimes we take for granted the gift that God gives us. He gave us his Holy Spirit. And that spirit is designed to guide us and to teach us. That's why when the first day of the week roll around, or even when we have stuff like this, the gift he gave you is to be with his people.
Amen.
You don't have a choice. You gave that up when you went in that watery grave. He says, by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. I know that I'm the workmanship of Christ. Whether you know it or not, Paul here is saying, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk therein. Paul said we were once alienated. We were once lost. See, the joy we ought to understand in the midst of our trials and tribulations, I got the forgiveness of sin. Point number 2, the joy that I ought to have in the midst of trials and tribulations is that I have blessings that the world can have but don't have.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. I have some blessings that the world can have but they don't have. You're looking at me funny. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. I want to show you something. There are some blessings that we have in Christ Jesus that the world don't have. The world can have all the blessings of this world, but church, there's some blessings that only come to those that are in Christ Jesus. Look at what he says. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blemish before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he has made us acceptable in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. That is some powerful stuff there. To know that because we belong to Jesus Christ, we have every blessing that God has to offer us. And I remember you had a lesson. God can't give us half of the blessings he has for us because we can't even handle the ones he's given us. Amen. It's a blessing to be part of the body of Christ. It's a blessing to know that we have the Holy Spirit to guide us, to direct us in our everyday life. It is a blessing to know that as children of God, nothing or no one can stop us but ourselves. Amen. And that's why I've learned to get out the way. Because God can bless us beyond what we can even begin to imagine. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and round about verse number 2, Paul says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all, not so, in all. So how do you count it all joy in the midst of your trials and tribulation? God's right there with you. Amen. What's the problem? I want everybody but him. And I think that's what happens in our Christian walk. But Paul here says, who comforts us in all of our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherein we ourselves are comforted by God. I told you, in the midst of every trial that you go through, God's right there. Amen. But what's the problem? See, you got to have a relationship. And see, and that relationship comes when you obey from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ. When you walk in the light as he is in the light. And guess what? That helps you to be able to understand every trial and tribulation you go through. You know, I don't know about you. I've learned that when things happen, I've learned to sit down. What you trying to tell me? What you want me to do? Oh, yeah. And guess what? He'll reveal it to you. Third point and final point, the joy of being able to be able to count it all joy in the midst of our trials and tribulations, you got to get out of the way and let the Spirit of God. That's right. Acts chapter 2 and round about verse number 38. When we went into the watery grave, we received the gift of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16 and verse number 13, that Spirit is designed to guide us, to direct us, and to help us to stay on the right track. But it will not guide you, it will not direct you, unless you are in the book. Amen. He don't fall out the sky. You can't buy him. No. Ask Simon. He tried. No, you got to bathe yourself with the Word of God, and then the Word coupled with the Spirit will help you to stay on right track, on the right track. And see, when you understand the Spirit that's in you, you stop condemning yourself. How many of y'all still condemn yourself from time to time? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand. You know why? I've been there, but I'm learning to get beyond that. You know why? Romans chapter 8, let me show you real quickly. Romans chapter 8 and round about verse number 1. The Bible says, there is therefore no condemnation. None. Zip. So if there's none in Christ, what you doing? See, that's where the Spirit has to come in, coupled with the knowledge to remind us when we think we fail. No, you need to put it at Jesus' feet and go on about your business. Why? Because there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. How do I know that? Because the rest of that passage says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of spirit of life in Jesus Christ have made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And church, and I'm learning that in the midst of everything you go through, if you turn it over to the Lord, man, everything just works out all right. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 11, look at what he says. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. And you know what? There's a whole lot of dead folk walking around. That's right. Then he goes on to say, but if you live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry. I told you, when I'm in the trouble, I call you after I call him. Oh, I've learned I'm calling him first. Because if I call you first, you might tell me go jump off the bridge. No, I'm gonna call him first, and then I'm gonna call you. Because if I call him, he might give me somebody else to call. You never know. But look at what he says. He says, for we have not received the spirit of bondage unto fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer. Oh, that's all over your lesson, boy. Therefore, if we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to compare with the glory we shall be. Boy, that's some good stuff there. Count it all joy. How do I count it all joy? It's first of all, understand where you stand in light of who Christ is. There are some things we ought to know. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. 1 John chapter 5, verse 15. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. Why am I giving all this? Because if you go into that to certain texts, John there says, we know. Somewhere down the line, church, we got to know some stuff. And I'm a firm believer that when we know who we are as children of the Most High God, you don't worry about nobody else. I've learned that when you understand who holds the world in the hollow of his hand and that your service to him is what he requires, he gave us his spirit so we could stay on track. Hope I've said something this evening. When I looked at this, I said, man, Henry, you laid the foundation. So I'm just going to build on the foundation that you laid from the Word of God. Conclusion, nothing stops the child of God that's led by the Spirit of God. Nothing. Nothing can hinder you. Nothing can slow you down. Oh, yeah, Satan, he's good now. Don't get me wrong. But when you're truly led by the Spirit of God, and you know, and it's interesting because Brother Carlisle and I was talking about that this morning. How is it that when you try to be strong, some of your biggest problems is in your household? Amen. And they're trying their best to pull you from your steadfastness. It don't have to be but a small word. But see, God's people, in the midst of everything that goes on, God's always there with us. And I'm learning that when we really take that to heart, boy, we'll change the world in which we live in. If you're here this evening and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing.